Her message is entitled At the Center of Synergy.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. That just really sets the tone. I appreciate that. It's really, really, really good to be here. I feel like, you know, I don't know where I am. It's been an incredible 2-3 weeks, I guess. I just got back Thursday evening from a gathering in Hawaii, chained suitcases, went down to Colquitt for social artistry and story bridging, got back last night, and then we're off again tomorrow. So, you know, I feel like I've been in the midst of, let's see if I can coin a word, a synergetic experience, in that the title is so appropriate today. Because I literally find myself having danced in a number of worlds and without having an opportunity to really integrate all of that, you're getting a very fresh perspective on what life feels like from that center. You know, synergy is an interesting word to me because often we think if you bring your talents and gifts and you bring your talents and gifts and then we'll add them all up and we'll see how many talents and gifts we have and we can do the work that we're here to do. Well, synergy has kind of a different meaning than that. And that is we bring all that we are and all the gifts and talents that we have, but then we breathe it all in and we wait for that divine spark that all of a sudden starts to operate in the midst of who we are. And because of the level of consciousness that together we create, we then, with all of that energy, something begins to happen that none of us can say, we did it. But all of us can agree that, wow, there is something about when we come together that has the power to manifest greatness. And so the topic today for me is a very good place to me for me to speak from. Let me try to kind of give a sense of what these few weeks have been for me. And I think that will help us come to a place of where a shared space of understanding in this presentation today or in this talk today. I had a call one night a couple of weeks ago from a friend of mine who we've done a lot of work in indigenous work around the world together. She is the founder and director of the Worldwide Indigenous Science Network, Dr. Apila Colorado. And I think our history together is about 20 years or maybe a little more. And so she says to me, I'm going to have this gathering. We're having an elder summit in Maui, which is where she lives, and would you be willing to come? And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, tickets to Hawaii are not cheap. And so she says, okay, but would you be willing to come? I said, absolutely. And so 5 minutes later, she calls back, and she says, the money's in your account. Get your ticket. Call me back and give me the ticket information. Well, you see, that was kind of a trick. And the trick was, if she didn't really pin me down to, you know, to do that, then I might find a way to get out of it. So nevertheless, all of that happened. That's synergy, right? We're both carrying a certain amount of work together. We come together, but then we're off doing our work. So I have very little time to prepare to go, which is good because I didn't go in my head. You know, I was just trying to keep up. So I arrived in Hawaii a few days later, as many of you know, and it was a gathering of 13 elders, young elders as well as older elders. And we say young elders as well as older elders because there are a lot of young people in indigenous communities right now that are doing tremendous work and that so much has been imparted in them that they speak with the voice of the wisdom of the elders. And so our representative group was from several different places. We had Maori from New Zealand. I feel like this is a test now. Maori from New Zealand. She from the Amazon, the Yawanawans. Siberia. and around the United States, Native American, Alaskan, and the jaguar out of Chiapas in Mexico, out of the jungles there. And I'm forgetting a few. Oh, Hawaiian and Polynesian. And so we came together, and it was very interesting because when Apila called the summit, she tried to create an agenda, but nothing would come. So we all land there together. And so everything that came out of that experience came literally out of the synergy that was created by our very presence. And so we got to share in each other's ceremonies, in each other's prayers for the earth, for humanity. We got to connect across cultures to look at how our prayers and our ancient wisdom is holding a fabric, a membrane, if you will, to keep the earth safe as we go through this period of, I say, losing our mind in a way as humanity. But, you know, losing your mind's not a bad thing. We'll come back to that. So the experience began as simply creating and holding space, and let's see what shows up. So we, as I said, we shared our stories, and we shared the wisdom, we shared tears for the earth, tears for humanity, and not to be stuck in that sadness, but to understand that as we let go for humanity, then we can begin to envision something greater. So there were a lot of things that factored in, not only our presence, but how the world showed up, how nature showed up, how God stuff showed up. And so the second day out, Apila calls us that morning and says, look, would you want to go out on a boat and see the whales? And so there were three of us that were invited to go out, the New Zealand Maori elder, the Amazonian elder chief, and myself. And she said, and there's one other person that wants to join you. I'm like, cool, you know. So we get on this little 17-foot, I mean, you know, you picture a zodiac, you know. Do you know what a zodiac is? Yeah. You've seen the orange rubber, like, what do you call those? Like a little, with a motor on the outside of it. So you fly and you hit a wave, you go way up in the air and then bounce back down. Uh-huh. So we're going all over off of Maui trying to find the pods so that we can have the experience of being with the whales. And so then all of a sudden, I turned to my friend from the Maori and I said, you know, you're the whale rider. Why don't you call in the whales? And he goes, ah, yeah. So he starts doing the whale chant. And next thing you know, we're surrounded by whales. And then they go off, and then there's a mama whale that decides that we must be her new best friends. And I tell you, it was such an awesome experience because she left the pod and came back to us. Now, we're in a 17-foot boat playing around with 60-foot whales that are about 100 tons each, right? So all of a sudden, we look up, and we see her turn and leave the pod and come back towards us. Now, when you're in a little 17 boat and you see this big fish coming towards you, it could take your breath away. Not out of fear. None of us were afraid. We were in awe. And we were in awe because here comes this giant whale. And guess what? If you've seen my Facebook page, you know that the whale came encircled in a rainbow. There was this beauty, and you can see the picture on my Facebook. And she's coming at us through this rainbow that's just encircled her. Not a rainbow that's around the environment. A rainbow that is just around her. And she comes up to us. And he's chanting and I'm singing to her. And we're just in this zone with this whale. And she comes right up. You could lay your face on the side of the pontoon. And she brings her face right up to you. Right up to you. She wouldn't let us touch her. I mean, we all got the message not to touch physically, but to just be with her. And then to let us know that she was very much engaged in this whole experience. When we leaned our head over, she would just blow out of the blowhole, you know, and just wet us. Or she'd slap a fin. Now, you've seen a dog when it lays on its back and it twirls around? She did that. She twirled around. She breathed. She did all of these things for 1 hour. And it wasn't until we thanked her and said, you know, we would love to do this all day, But we know you're with your pod, and they're getting further and further away. So, you know, we just really honored her and wished her safety on her journey. These are northern Pacific whales from Alaska who come down just to have babies. So when they leave Alaska and they swim down, they don't eat at all. They live off of the blubber, the fat that they have within themselves, and they have their babies. They get pregnant and have their babies and then go back. So we just want to wish her a safe journey and lots of love and protection for her and the baby. So it wasn't until we all came to that, we all kind of knew that that experience, we had finished it, and if we held on to it any longer, we were being selfish. You know, we were literally being selfish. And so we all had that intuitive knowing. And when we said those prayers, she swam off. And awe, it's a powerful thing. And I think sometimes in our world, we forget the power of awe. You know, and it doesn't take a whale necessarily to have that experience. But it was our experience. And maybe it was our experience because you can't make that up. On your best day, you can't make that up. It defies all logic. It defies all logic. And yet, here you are in the midst of something that has to be a gift from God. So when we talk about energy, I think the first step towards synergy, towards that experience of synergy, is allowing awe into our lives. And how do we allow awe? We simply say yes. Say it with me. Yes. Because we get so entrenched in the struggle. Believe me, I can tell you, the struggle. I've been so entrenched in struggles these last few years that I just go from one to the other, whether I'm talking about indigenous rights, where I'm looking at poverty and the impact on youth in our country, where we have extreme poverty affecting youth in the magnitude of the total population of 7 states in this country. It's mind-blowing, you know? We look at all the isms in our society, and we're like, oh my goodness, I thought we were moving forward. But what's really showing up? You look at interfaith and how we're polarizing along religious lines. All of that, you know, we're in that struggle. We're trying to figure out how to move ourselves out of it. And so when you allow awe in, it takes you to another place. It took me to another place. It took me to that experience of observing God in action. It took me to the experience of the impossible being possible. It took me to the embodiment of, if that can happen out there, maybe I can be the whale with the rainbow coming into any of the situations that I find myself in my work and in my struggles. Maybe it will even define my perception that will take me from struggle to reconstruction, from struggle, which is resisting, to reconstruction, which is rebuilding. Maybe it can take me from that place of feeling stuck to that place of a sense of renewal and a celebration of new possibilities. And see, that's important to me, because I honestly feel that all we see happening around us, and that gets played out over and over and over again in so many different variations, is simply telling us that we have to shift our perception. And that the answer for how we shift that perception is a more intimate relationship with the stuff of the universe, a more intimate relationship with the Creator. That's not something out there, but is the synergy that holds us all together. We are creation right here, right now. We are creating this better world that works for all. It is in us. It's not something we have to strive for, but rather something we get the opportunity to be. To be in our relationships with ourselves. being with these elders, I saw so much profound love. I never heard a negative word. It was being washed in the sense of, I really appreciate you. You know, I know you at a deeper level than your words. I see you intimately. I am experiencing this life with you, and therefore I am stronger and I am whole, and I appreciate that. Whether it's with you and I, or whether it's with nature, going into the lava tubes and into the caves and doing ceremonies to honor the earth in her deepest womb, having a deep womb experience with Mother Earth. Whether it's on top of a volcano and feeling that energy, literally seeing life being created, new worlds, new lands pouring forth from the womb of Mother Earth. Whether it's going into an old, ancient ceremonial ground where nature has just let everything be provided. From sugarcane growing wild to guava dropping on the ground to noni pods all over the place and on and on. It is here. All that we need is within us. So it's not about having our ego and being connected to our old story so strongly that when we come together, we can't step out of that and just allow the awe factor. What are the chances that we're all here this morning together? What is the chance? How many different places could we all be? But we chose to be here. Now, maybe the motivation for being here was what I need this. I just feel that I need to be here this morning. But maybe the true creative expression of all of that is we all needed to be here this morning to create a synergy that can be so strong that the spirals within us connect with the spirals all around us and help us go to bed tonight and dream something so profound that we can fit that into our work, our life work experience. And that becomes the essence of change. You know, this is a powerful time for me. This is often the time for me on our calendar year where I have an opportunity to reflect. I usually do a lot of reflecting in the month of February. It's African History, American History Month, Black History Month. And it's a month that represents a lot of my historical story and the awe that was created by being the daughter of Natalie and Arthur Williams, who stood for what it means to be the best of who we are, to make the changes in the world that allows every boy and girl to have a choice. I walk their struggle. As children, we were taken to every civil rights movement and walk and so forth in our communities. And my mom being a literary arts professor, you know, being exposed to so many great writers of that era. And having had an opportunity in these last few years to be with my dear friend, who I was hoping one day we would get her here before she made her transition, Amelia Boynton Robinson from Alabama, who passed this year at 104. Sekou joined us on a visit to her home, and we had an opportunity to sit in awe of how resistance becomes embedded in a new way, how the synergy of all those that stood up on that front line for freedom, how it allowed us to be where we are today. Now, has everything been resolved? Is the work over? No, it always continues. But being in awe that my parents were doing this, being in awe of the sacrifices we saw people of all color joining in this great period in our history of civil rights, fueled me for the rest of my life. That's why I said in synergy that I'd always like to start with awe. But I wanted to read a passage that she wrote in my book. Whereas some people talk about love and peace, but never take any meaningful actions to bring it about, and some others measure their pursuit for peace in communities in terms of bullets and bombs, it is time to demonstrate a belief that prayer, love, meaningful communication, and human sharing will best bring real peace and justice in the world. So you see, I went from the awe experience of being with the indigenous elders and their teachings and ceremonies and nature to being in Colquitt over the last few days with people from all over who are using social artistry, seeing the world as a canvas, and how do we bring our artistic perspective to making change, to story bridging, where we understand that everybody has a story, and we take our stories as a group, and by the end of the day, we've produced this beautiful play with music, light, sound, and a production performance that evening, based on the power of our story. So when we think about awe, and then we go to this place of where we all want a better world. That's what my parents were walking for, a better world, so that my generation could have different choices. We share our stories so that together we become whole. There's a power in sharing story. There's a healing that happens. And then that healing opens the space for the next version, the next chapter in our lives, individually and collectively. So we move from awe. We move into that space of recognizing some of the blocks in our lives and saying we can, as Amelia Boynton Robinson says, we can bring real peace and justice by showing up. And that synergy from awe to showing up. What's the next step? I think that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. What's the next step in the process? When we allow awe to come in our lives, when we know that we're driven by this force to make the world a better place, what's the next step? I think the next step for me in this synergetic space that we're creating is, how do we now become creative leaders in our families and in our communities? Where do we begin that process? Because the elders talked a lot about that. You know, it's not some force out there that's going to change the world. It's us living into this awe and into this God space, knowing that we are of the substance of the universe, of God, Him, Herself. So as I thought about that, I remembered the first question they always ask. Who are you? How many of you have actually stopped to think, who am I? So I challenge you this week as you go forward. Do a little journal page, or some of you might need a whole journal. Just dealing with that question, who am I? Who am I as a person? What are my values? What do I believe? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And then, what are my passions? You see, that's one of the things the elders made us connect with. What is your passion? What are you passionate about? And are you living into that passion? Are you willing to let go of some things in order that you can invest more of you in your passion? And what does your passion say to you about making the impossible happen? You see, in that space of living into who, knowing who we are, living into who we are, all of a sudden connecting with that passion, we make the impossible happen. And when we embrace the impossible, it ignites what? It ignites our imagination, the blueprint for a better world is embedded in that space. The next question, when you ask yourself, who am I, do you take note of what skills you have? What are your skill sets? What innate wisdom do you have? What parts of you have you been denying? And by denying it, creating some void within yourself. That makes it difficult to bring all of you into any situations. The elder would say, if your passion is to dance, then dance like a mad, mad woman. If your passion is to help, then help. So many of us shut the door as soon as we come face to face with our passion. We shut the door because we hear all these other voices that make all of that, negates all of that. But when you're living in that space, when you know who you are, you know what you possess, then you begin to attract to you the people and the resources, the gifts and the talents, not just yours, but everybody around you. And before you know it, what's happening? The impossible has become possible. You have manifested that dream space that in your dreams you see it clear. But all of a sudden now, that dream becomes your reality and you're walking into that. And then ask yourself, as I begin to get this sense of who I am, what lenses am I looking through that gives me a sense of the world? What are all the different lenses that you have an opportunity to go back and look at the world through? I mean, I can look through the lens of my indigenous upbringing. I can look through the lens of being a child of the civil rights era. I can look through the lens of being someone that passionately just loves life. I can look through the lens of those awe moments in my life that drive me to live more into my passion. I can look through the lens of the pain and the troubles and the trials that I've had in life, but no one lens tells the full story of who I am. So what lens, what view am I giving the most power right now? And how do I refocus that so I let all of that in? I create a synergy around my collective experiences, the lenses that I see the world, and I can pull from all of that to be more centered in who I truly am, in the God self that I am. And then the last question that I think of in that regard is, what am I willing to let go of to let more of life in? What am I willing to let go of to let more of life in? All questions. People always say that the questions are more powerful than the answers, yes? So in your journaling this week, think about some of those things. See what resonates in you that is allowing that if you but just engage in just thinking and working through some of those things, that it takes you to a better place. It's work. Believe me, it's work. But sometimes in the rush of everything going on in our lives, we forget to take that time to just be. My first big lesson in being was an ancestor, elder ancestor of mine. It happened on Big Island. Hawaii has been very, very a big place for me for a lot of learnings. And Mr. Makua took me up to the top of the volcano there. And he took me right to the edge of the rim where you look over and you see the lava and you see all that's happening, right? And he sits me on a rock and puts these three little red berries in my hand and he says, I'll be back. Now, I am in a place where one wrong move and it's over, right? And then he says to me with that little grin on his face as he's walking away, you know, I wouldn't move if I were you until I got back to get you. And he leaves me there for almost an hour. Now, the first instinct is fear, because you know how close you are to death. One wrong move, and you fall in there. You know, that's all she wrote. One with the earth. There you are. But as I settled in, I started to look more closely at all that was churning in there. And I realized I'm about as close to creation as I'll ever be. Because the earth, what's coming forward from her, is the base for lands and islands that are being made in the ocean. So I'm looking at creation. And then it just, all of a sudden, I just started to feel this oneness with that experience. And I'm sharing that because it was in that state of awareness then I realized that what I was seeing was what was in me. That I'm constantly birthing some islands out here in the sea of life. And as I thought about it, it was, what am I birthing? What am I birthing? And it took me full circle back to who am I? And so today, I want to leave you with those questions, those thoughts. Thank you for allowing me to share through my experience. That I do believe that we're on an epic journey right now. That we're in the midst of epic change in this world. And that as we adjust our lenses and begin to clear so that we're not all here in the past, not all here in just the dream world, but we can center in the here and now, drawing from both the dream world and the lenses of our experiences. We can pull that into this center. And out of the synergy that we create, we find our oneness with spirit. We find our oneness with each other, and that becomes the building block upon which we build. That gives us mana, that gives us power to make the changes in the world that the world is waiting for, whether it's writing music, whether it's dancing, whether it's being on the front lines of change, whatever it is that gives us the power to make this world a better place, beginning not so much out there, but beginning in here, spiraling out into our lives, spiraling out into our families, spiraling out into our communities, spiraling out into the world. And there's no better time to work to realize this in our lives. Our children, our communities, our future is depending on it. And that's not a burden. That is part of the awe. Because we get to paint on this huge canvas and create from that synergy, that space of synergy where we are all connected. We are one. And we have the opportunity to manifest at an incredible proportion. But we have to be willing to go there. Thank you.